our presentation from Washington Heights because Jack Geiger was a mentor of mine when I was in the National Health Service Corps working in Washington Heights in a community health center, and continues to be an inspiration for our family medicine program at Columbia New York Presbyterian Hospital. And Jack Geiger is a professor emeritus at Sophie Davis Center for Biomedical Education just down the block from us. So the concept of community-oriented primary care is very much alive and well in this era of patient-centered medical homes and the chronic care model for improvement. So I have nothing to disclose. And our presentation from Columbia is Linking Primary Care Practices to Community Health Services, Where Are We Now? And I'd like to acknowledge some of my colleagues from Columbia, principally Dr. Chrisara Sarnelli, who was among the family medicine residents who actually carried out this survey as part of their community-oriented primary care orientation last year. And Dr. Susan Lin, who's a member of our faculty, who basically worked with the residents, supervised them, and did some of the data analysis from our exploration of patients' knowledge and attitudes about community-based services and how we integrate those with our clinical services at the community health center where we work. We also have a couple of other family medicine residents from years even beyond with us today, so I hope if there are questions afterwards, they will jump in and help to answer some of the questions about how we integrate community-oriented primary care into our family medicine residency training. But let me give you a little bit of context about what we're trying to do. In developing a patient-centered medical home model for a family medicine training practice, linkages to community resources are particularly important. And I sort of hope that many of you are aware of the model of the patient-centered medical home. It was described in the first talk today. And I hope that some of you are also aware of the chronic care model for improvement, which was developed by Ed Wagner and colleagues many few years ago, looking at ways that primary care services could improve the chronic care that they deliver. And as we think about the chronic care model for improvement, we recognize that there are a lot of components of those models that focus on the practice itself, such as information systems and patient registries, delivery system design, changing the way we have patients flow through the practice. Clinician decision support is another important part of that model, as well as patient self-management support. And I think that often as we try to develop the patient-centered medical home and the chronic care model in our practices, we are very inward-looking and sometimes spend a lot of our time concentrating on what we do inside the four walls of the practice and don't think as much as we probably should using the community-oriented primary care model, as Jack Geiger would like to have us do, and looking outside the walls of our practice. And hence, that's why we get our residents in family medicine for a month at the very beginning of their training outside of the health center to the extent possible to really understand what's going on in the community that we serve and to try to understand what goes on in the neighborhood. So I think that one of the important components of developing the patient-centered medical home then is the linkages to existing community-based resources outside of the health center. However, we discovered that there's really a lack of information both about the community services that might be available outside the walls of our health center and a lack of data about how those services are used by our patients. So we set out to develop some data for ourselves in the Ambulatory Care Network of New York Presbyterian last year to understand better how patients are thinking about using community-based services and whether we have those linkages between our practice and those services. So the objectives of the survey that we developed were to describe the prevalence and use of community health resources by primary care patients in the network of community health centers, which is the ambulatory care network of New York Presbyterian Hospital, and to examine the knowledge and attitudes towards those programs for our patients. We think that, or we hypothesize basically, that if we could make that linkage, if we could discover what's going on outside in the community and we could develop some effective ways of directing patients to community-based resources, they would use them. And that it might be a more effective and efficient way of using, developing patient self-management support for some of the chronic diseases than to try to build them, you know, within the practice ourselves. So the study design was a cross-sectional survey of about 151 primary care patients in the Washington Heights Ambulatory Care Network practices in New York City from October to December of 2011. And this survey was carried out, as I mentioned before, by the first-year family medicine residents in our program. The study participants were recruited at three primary care practices in the ambulatory care network, and the ambulatory care network does serve predominantly Latino patients who have Medicaid and Medicare coverage. The surveys were self-administered sometimes and using face-to-face interviews based on a purposeful sample of patients waiting in the waiting room. And the New York Presbyterian and Columbia University IRB gave expedited approval for us to do the survey in the waiting rooms. So briefly describing the characteristics of the study population, nothing really too surprising in terms of the patients who use ambulatory services in the ambulatory care network, skewed towards the patients over 60, and the patients in the younger age group were the second largest group with third largest age group were those who are 50 to 69, but you know certainly a predominance of people, children, young adults, and then the over 60 population. Not surprisingly, with many community-based practices, a predominance of women using our services in the ambulatory care network, and as we we're certainly expecting from the community that we serve in Washington Heights, a predominance of Latino or Hispanics, most of whom come from the Dominican Republic in our neighborhood. And the surveys were also administered bilingually. Almost a majority of patients preferred to do the survey in Spanish, so that it was available to them in Spanish. If you add together the bilingual and Spanish, it certainly reflects the patient population that we were serving and continue to serve at this time. In terms of the patient's view of their health, not surprisingly, again, people describe their health status overwhelmingly as either good, fair, or poor. Again, that's not unusual for people in a waiting room study, since many of the patients are there for the chronic care that is typically served in what we would describe as a Medicaid and Medicare population. Many of the patients have the typical chronic disease of urban underserved populations, diabetes, hypertension, obesity, and certainly in our practices we see an overlying component of behavioral health problems, particularly depression, anxiety, and family dysfunction. Certainly a lot of behavioral health issues to deal with in our patient population. I'm now getting to a knowledge of community-based programs amongst our patients, amongst the adult primary care patients that we surveyed. Only about a quarter of them really reported any knowledge about community-based programs for promoting healthy behavior and disease prevention. That was kind of surprising to us, since there's really, I think, a lot of richness of community-based CBO activity going on in Washington Heights. And so it was a little bit surprising to us that only about a quarter of our patients had any knowledge of community-based services. And when we queried about which ones the patients knew about, they knew about the YMCA programs, and the diabetes prevention program at the Y was mentioned a few times. And I think we prompted people about some of these programs. It wasn't spontaneous. Yes, we know about the YMCA. That was one of the choices that we offered. About close to 10% of patients had been to or knew of health fairs that had been held in the community by various organizations. A little bit over 10% knew about the New York City Department of Health Smoker Quit Line. But it was difficult for patients to identify programs themselves that were in the community that would be helpful for them to maintain or improve their health or to help with prevention. So just reiterating, 25% of the patients knew about anything going on in the community having to do with prevention or health promotion. And even fewer reported that their primary care providers had ever suggested or referred them to community-based programs. So this suggests that our providers don't really know too much about what's going on or what's available to refer patients to. So that really, to us, identified a real potential need for us to identify and to inform our clinicians about what services and what programs are available in the community. Only about 20%, close to 20%, had ever used any of these community-based programs that they could identify for health promotion, disease prevention. Conversely, although there wasn't a great deal of knowledge about those programs, when we asked people if we offered them or could identify them for them, there was a good amount of interest in being referred to those types of programs in the community. So you can see that when we asked, are you interested in going to a community-based program, about two-thirds of people said they would be. Three-quarters almost said they were interested in getting more information. And 80%, over 80%, said they thought that patients in the programs in the community could be helpful and useful. And these were the kinds of community-based programs that patients identified as being useful. Those are those things that we don't often provide directly in primary care practice. Physical activity, diet improvement, weight loss, smoking cessation, or asthma education. A bit of a surprise to us was that many, many people were looking for stress management as something that they could find useful in the maintenance of their health. And that sort of segues into what we're doing this year, and I'll give a mention of that if I don't run out of time. So what would be helpful in getting people to community-based programs? They identified assistance traveling to the programs, translation into their preferred language, and for the patients in our practice who had children, about a fifth of them, 20%, identified childcare as something that would be helpful in overcoming barriers to referrals. And where would they get more information? From their doctor, or nurse practitioner, or care provider was the most popular way. So that, again, suggests to us that the primary care physicians have a key role to play in connecting patients with the services that are available in the community. We were a little surprised, given our rates of return mail, that people said we could mail them information, so we took that with a little bit of a grain of salt, I think. Phone calls also, we know that we get a lot of disconnected phone call or phone lines whenever we try to reach people by phone. So I'm not sure that that's going to be the most effective way of getting information out there. And by email, many of our patients do have the ability to communicate by email and text messaging. So that's an area that's actually being explored pretty actively in terms of reminders to come back for immunizations and for follow-up visits by a couple of the practices in the ambulatory care network. So in conclusion, we see that patients have poor knowledge and low use of existing community-based programs, and only a small number of the patients were referred to a program by their provider, which suggests that providers also have poor knowledge and low use of connecting patients to community-based programs. And most of the patients expressed an interest if their provider would make that referral. So there is an opportunity there for improvement and for developing those linkages. How to make those linkages happen, we need to do much more research and investigation about what programs are out there and what is available to our patients, and to figure out, using the resources within the health center, what are some of the best ways and strategies to make those linkages and to facilitate the integration of those community resources into our direct provision of care. So what our residents are doing this year for their community-oriented primary care orientation is they are taking stress as an area that patients are interested in getting more information, and really doing a survey to understand better what people mean by stress, and doing some key informant interviews with community leaders and community-based organizations to help us to better identify what sorts of resources are out there in behavioral health that we could begin to build those bridges between our practice and community-based services. So perhaps we will be back here next year telling you that we've been able to establish some better linkages and methods for linking our patients in primary care to useful behavioral health centers, behavioral health services, to help them manage their stress. So thank you.